Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan on a Monday. Braves enjoying a much-needed day off. They'll be in Boston for the first of a quick two-game series tomorrow night. And it's off to Marlins Town to face the Fish for a four-game series, another doubleheader on Saturday.
Clevelander.
Clevelander's gone. Oh. Like inside the ballpark.
Burger King.
That's not in the ballpark either. They have a bobblehead museum. I was there. They have a really chic bobblehead museum.
Okay.
Very nice.
For what bobbleheads can offer as a museum, sure.
I mean, that was all I could give you about Miami. Hold on one second. We might have some news from Dan Matthews. Let me first remind you the 4 o'clock hour of the show brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at SPFS.com. Yes, Dan.
Appreciate the invite, but I'll respectfully decline.
Softy. Hey,
thanks,
Licata.
Though, T-H-O.
So for those who don't know, Sal went on this big thing.
What is T-H-O?
Though.
Is it really?
Yeah.
T-H-O?
Let me catch the audience up here.
It's what the kids do.
Let me catch the audience up. Licata went on his big rant on his little show last night after he showed up an hour late. Then this morning he subtweeted me because he didn't have the guts to attach me to it, where he's like, I don't get an invite from Atlanta. We invited him. Licata, come on the show. But as I said, he wouldn't have the guts to do it. Why? Because he got clowned last time. He was embarrassed. He lied to his audience about what happened, didn't play the audio, and now he knows... Again, I can't handle that smoke if I come on again. Enough with him. I'm done.
We want Lori Rubenson anyway.
Well, she'd show up on time. She filled in for him when he couldn't make his own show last night.
I apologize to Lori Rubenson.
I respectfully decline. Soft. Yeah. That's what that guy is.
This morning, you said last night.
Yeah, I'm sorry, overnight. This morning, he didn't show up for his own show at 2 a.m.
I'm just for accuracy.
He bitches and complains. Hey, they won't invite me. I just invited you. It's an open invite, Sally. Whenever you want. Mi casa, su casa, come on. Your show, whenever you want it.
He knows. I'm okay. I just overslept.
I know. He knows he has no chance. We'll replay the last interview. He's embarrassed. The guy was, it was a joke. And then he lied to his own audience, wouldn't play the audio because he knows how bad he got clowned.
Whatever. It happens.
Whatever. I don't have time in my life for this guy. Yeah, I do. It's fun to make fun of them. It really is. It's very enjoyable. Chuck has got a countdown to the college football season. We call it 99 problems. We're down to problem 26, only 26 days till football's back for real. Item 26 is in 5 minutes. Tease us.
There's a week one game possibility. Probably not at the top of your must-watch list. I'll explain why that list needs a little revising.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, this is a good one.
All right. We'll look forward to that in 5 minutes. But first, Chuck says there's a tough commentary this season for one SEC head coach, and it should make dog fans appreciate Kirby even more.
Yeah. So what is this East Division that Georgia plays in? What's this seven-team thing that we all dismiss, Matt, don't we? As, Georgia's winning it. No other possibility. And honestly, who will even challenge him? Who's the biggest?
What's that noise?
That was kind of the conversation.
Now, it would be a surprise if somebody, a major, major surprise if somebody won the East and it's not them.
Kirby and Georgia, man, back pocket. Their season starts in Atlanta. South Carolina is going from a 24-year-old former player turned coach back to player again as starting quarterback last year, okay? South Carolina's going from that guy as starting quarterback to Spence Rattler. And the Gamecocks could very well have the same regular season record. You go from Zeb Nolan to Spence Rattler. It's supposed to be an improvement, and it might be a much better product, but because of the East, it might be the same 6-6 record. If Georgia treats the East like most of us believe, it's way more of an accomplishment than virtually any of us are going to give him credit for. And especially since Oregon is if it resembles anything what the public now believes about Georgia, because I think that game debuted at 14 and a half or 15 and it got bet up a couple of points early and is now kind of settled at 17 or so. If that reflects in any way what actually happens and then Georgia gets into the season, we're going to be boring, get us there, what's it, and I'm not even on the road in Tennessee this year, and we'll invent some stuff about the Kentucky game. We'll even talk about, you know, hey, if Anthony Richardson's hot down and you never know, we'll start throwing out you never knows. Mm-hmm. Is there a rise-up moment for Georgia Tech kids to save Jeff Collins' job? All this crap. We will give so little credit for 12-0 regular season, and that is so not the proper response.
Well, you can say it's not fair, and here's what I would echo. When your best response to somebody, or you know, best theory of somebody upsetting Georgia would be it's sports and things happen. That's not a thing. That's
or
like
who'd you beat? Who'd you beat?
I said this earlier. Oh, I said it last week. Georgia and Cincinnati were the only two teams that went undefeated last year. I don't care who you are. Mm-mm. There is that game on everybody's schedule somewhere, even for the best team, where you just have a dog Saturday, or you just have an average Saturday, and somebody has the rise up game, and the two shall meet and forms the upset. It happens every year. Like 12-0, there's no way to disparage it. Beating Oregon to start.
Against like 12 other teams with scholarships and uniforms and stuff. That is it from, okay, you played a real
And in SEC.
Even when UMass is on there or Central Michigan dots it, because that just kind of dots it. There's also Jacksonville and Auburn and Kentucky and everybody else, and none of it really is easy.
I hate to pivot from that because I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. One of my first crushes has passed away.
Who that?
Olivia Newton-John. Passed away at 73 years old.
No.
Yeah, just news breaking over the last half an hour. She died peacefully in her sleep at her ranch in Southern California this morning. I mean, that was it. That was the video. I bet that's 1984, 85, somewhere in there.
81.
Maybe even earlier. Well, for me, I didn't. That was 4 in 81. So when I see it, I'm like, Olivia Newton-John's doing that video for me and helping me send myself into puberty early. I got a major thing for Olivia Newton-John.
You should have.
Yeah.
You were paying attention.
73 years old. I didn't realize she was that old.
Mm. Well, she wasn't 18 in Greece.
No, I know.
She was 30.
I know. The singer revealed in September of 2018 she was battling cancer at the time at the base of her spine. It was her third cancer diagnosis following bouts with breast cancer in the early 90s and then again a reoccurrence in 2017. So... Olivia Newton-John gone. Condolences. One of my first crushes, Chuck. This hurts.
Condolences to the family.
Yes. Thank you, Nicholas. That's 100% correct. That's the best way to do that. That felt very weird to squeeze that in between Kirby Smart and this.
If you're having sports problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. College ball ain't one.
Yeah, Chuck. Day. 26.
All right, now let me just, there's a little bit of a setup here.
Oh, God.
I know that week one, there are a lot of quality options, especially as you get a little later in the day and some of those week one NutriSite paycheck games, et cetera, et cetera. There's a game you're not going to watch. I'm just saying tune in a little bit or maybe work that DVR.
Way to sell me. A game you don't want to watch, but here's let's talk about it.
You're not going to want to watch it, but you probably should. Just work it in somehow. In fact, Matt, a lot of people have Monday off. You know what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Monday afternoon, I don't know. You got the grill fired up, people coming over. Go to your saved programs. Memphis at Mississippi State. Seth Hennigan, quarterback last year for Memphis, just the latest in a long line that has come through there, even with change at coach. It's been about a decade now since Fuente was there and kind of started that run. Last year as a true freshman, 25 touchdowns, 7 picks. There's no way to limit that. And it is, I'm going to say, quarterback intensive. Put a lot on the kid. And he was a kid. This is an SEC opponent. A pretty salty defense, which I've said for Mike Leach, if you give him an all-star defense from Texas Tech and the Palouse, I think his defense is his first two at Mississippi State. Any of them are better than an all-star team he would put together. So if Hennigan goes on the road and kind of shows out a little bit against the Bulldogs, again, it's a night game in Starkville. Not saying you have to watch it live, but kind of put it on there. Maybe on Monday, find some time.
In the conference, SEC conference, the Tigers sleep tonight. On the field, the quiet field, the Bulldog sleeps tonight.
26 days, 26 days, 26 days, 26 days.
No You'll find time, won't you?
26 days. So the game is Saturday, September 3rd at 7:30.
7:30 at night, yeah.
I won't be watching live.
There are other options. I understand it's week
one. What you're saying is Sunday.
Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Right, probably, yeah. Probably. And then Sunday, don't we have a Sunday night game?
That's LSU and Florida State.
All right, so I can't do it
then. And then Clemson, Georgia Tech is that Monday, night, yeah. That Monday night. So during the day, I said.
It'll be tough. It's going to be wow. I'm going to have to, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to think about it.
If he develops into an NFC, this is why I always tell you. If it's the 12-0 season, you're like, oh, I got to catch up with everybody else. How'd that team go 12-0? Well, you're going to know in advance. Or if he turns into an NFL draft pick, you're going, oh, I got to catch up. No, you don't, because you watch him against Mississippi State.
You're right. I need to stay ahead of everybody else.
Thank you.
You're right. I told you I watched Woodstock 99, new doc on Netflix. And it's like, it's jarring. It's 3 days of like
things. That could have been you.
I was 22 at the time.
That could have been you.
I was never like, I've been to Music Midtown a couple of times. I didn't love it because of when it rained or the smells and everything else. So I probably wouldn't have made the sojourn to upstate New York for Woodstock 99. But there are so many elements of this documentary that are fascinating, including. So security, they didn't have enough security. They went cheap on security and they called them the Peace Patrol. These kids that they hired and paid a flat fee to come sort of, you know, try to keep the peace. And at one point, Limp Bizkit's playing. And Fred Durst, and so this is somebody who saw Fred, one of the media members, is like, you saw Fred Durst battling with himself. One of the battles was humble Fred, just like, I'm going to be on stage and have a great time. And then his eyes got big as saucers when he realized I can control 250,000 people and they'll do exactly what I want them to do right now. Like he's getting, losing his mind and these people are, you know, jumping around going crazy. And so they sort of blame Fred Durst and Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers for not trying to help diffuse a couple of nights of just kids losing their minds. It's a fascinating documentary on all the stuff that went wrong in a 3 day, what should have just been a music fest. It wasn't exactly peace and love like the 1969 version.
No. Or have you seen
Flea playing the bass butt naked? Who needed? There was more nakedness in this documentary. More people got naked at this Woodstock. 3 days of people just not wearing clothes.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, again, just the lack of cleanliness and facilities and such, that it would ever be like an arousing sort of situation.
No. Think,
you know, pile of nakedness, okay, what's on the menu? In this case, how about some soap?
So they said these kids had a combination of just heat exhaustion, over booze, drugs,
sure.
Everything else, and by the third day they'd lost their minds. They were treated as somebody said it would be like if an animal was caged and these kids were like now released to just go destroy everything. And they did.
Did you see, was it Hulu had Summer of Soul? I'm not saying that. Well, I think
did
it was
not
Hulu
see that
or Amazon,
one. No.
Maybe
oh,
one of them.
That's intriguing. All right.
Yeah, it was previously maybe Lost, didn't know where it was, something mm-hmm. footage of a festival, I think in D.C.
Okay.
Summer of Soul.
I'll dial that one up.
Philadelphia, D.C.
You do Woodstock 99. I'll catch up on that
one. It's on Hulu.
All right, we'll see what we can do.
Exactly.
All right, coming up next, this is more proof that New York fans have become the saddest sacks in all of sports.
Would you scratch my sack? Okay, you know, and that one earlier, I didn't say anything. The World Series, the Braves, I didn't say anything close to it. And it's not even a good edit. What is wrong with you? Why are you off your game?
What was that one again? Will I scratch his what?
Would you scratch my sack?
Weird.
Why?
What a weird, weird thing to do. No, I will not.
It's not the itching. It's the swelling.
I've heard that. We'll talk about whatever the hell I tease next. Licata went on his big rant on his little show last night after he showed up an hour late.
I'm okay. I just overslept.
Then this morning he subtweeted me where he's like, oh, I don't get an invite from Atlanta. We invited him. Licata, come on the show. But as I said, he wouldn't have the guts to do it. Why?
He's a bitch.
Okay, I didn't want this to deteriorate into name calling. Didn't want that life. But we did extend the invite.
Why? Why are we doing all that?
Why? Because I knew he wouldn't come on, Chuck.
I recently challenged him to a debate on this program, and he declined.
I'm right here.
What are you worried about? You don't have to send me any questions.
I don't need any questions. I'm ready.
You can ask me anything you want.
I'll go on his little show. He has an open invitation to come on this program. Because he got slapped last time, verbally slapped.
Kind of idea. Like, is this one of those things like maybe you record before the show or after the show?
That's fine. Whatever. It's not like he's busy. He doesn't work till 2 a.m.
No, I mean, like sometimes, you know.
But I mean, I'm dead serious. Anytime he wants, I'll have him on the show. But he realizes what went wrong last time. He doesn't want that. Poor guy. He was outwitted. It wasn't fair. When he doesn't have calls to take, he doesn't know how to do a talk show. Like, it's easy to press a button.
Good morning, Taco.
Taco Frank. What his co-host, Taco Frank. That guy. New York radio. It's awesome. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan during our 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by South Point Financial Services. If you're looking to refinance your home or investment property, you need to contact South Point Financial Services at spfs.com. Coming up in 5 minutes, Chuck says we're way off. With one advantage, we've assigned this season to a former national power. We'll talk about that coming up. But on the heels of what I just told you about Sally, overnight New York guy, I said the same thing in May that I'll say now. Like, the Mets, two things. Number one, the Mets had a good weekend. They're a good baseball team. As much as I keep waiting for the Mets, it's not going to happen. They're very good. But the response to their fan base reminds me how little they've actually won. And I've said this about a lot of New York sports teams for a long while, that, man, they go ape bleep over regular season sports in a way that they just never used to. And you saw that again this weekend. Although I have to temper that with, they didn't sell out yesterday, which is weird. I would have thought it would have been easy Sunday, DeGrom's home opener. It's against the Braves. It's the best team you've had in 35 years. And they only put 37,000 in Citi Field. I can't explain that one, because we know what happens to this city when we don't sell out a game in April. People, you know, make a deal of it. The Mets couldn't sell out that. If you can't sell that game out, what do you do?
I don't know where the next, like, 3,000 or 4,000 people were, whatever it would require.
Seems impossible.
Yeah, I don't know where they were. Again, city of 25 million, or at least the area residents, potential customers, whatever. There or not there, 2,000 people in the stands. Boy, he pitched his ass off.
He's great.
He pitched about as well as he can pitch, which means it could have been a perfect game. Oh, sort of was.
But the Mets celebrating August stuff, for the fans, the Mets aren't. The team, now, they were pretty emotional. That's fine.
Yeah.
But Met fans celebrating August championships was just as funny as them celebrating May and April championships. This is what we used to be guilty of here. We used to overreact to regular season stuff. Maybe 2 years ago we did it, or 3 years ago. And for good or bad, we've overreacted to regular season stuff. I think baseball is always the one that I try my best to not ride the roller coaster, because it's such a damn long season. But I have to remind myself, the Mets haven't been here in so long that it is a big deal for them in August. It is. It's a huge deal. Would I bet on them to win the championship? No. Will they figure out a way where something goes wrong? Probably. Would I still love that to be at the hands of the Braves? I certainly would. But let me take from the micro of the Mets to what I've said about New York as a sports city. They've shown their asses so much for being a city that once was defined by championships, to now it's Knick fans making horses behinds out of themselves when their team wins a playoff game in the first round in a series they lose in five games to the Hawks. Or the Met fan acting as if they've won something in August. And again, I know the city. Yankees haven't won a title since 09. Mets haven't won one since 86. Giants since 12. You know, Knicks since 72. Like Brooklyn, the Nets, have they ever won anything?
When they were ABA.
Oh, the ABA. Yeah. So they don't have context, Chuck. If we have a 15-year-old or a 20-year-old New York sports fan, they might have a little memory of a Giant Super Bowl or a Yankee championship, but maybe not. There's not a Met fan who's under 50 years old who remembers the last time the Mets won a championship.
Oh, that's probably true, and that's a tough existence, man.
So let me give them a pass. Maybe I'm being too hard on them.
They would have been like 13 or so, 14.
Okay, so then that's what I mean. But if you're 40 years old right now?
Oh, you got no real understanding. If you're 40 years old, you have no – you've heard so – here's the thing.
You sat on your grandpa's knee while he tells you about Gary Carter.
Like – you get hazy sometimes. Do I remember the 82, or have I heard it so many times?
Seen the videos.
Exactly.
Right. No, there's no question.
And so that means you were really, really young, and it was a long time ago.
I think in our city and in our state, we've been guilty of this too. When you don't have championship success, before Georgia won a title, Hoyt, I'll turn to you. I bet you went nuts over regular season wins over Florida throughout the years, right? Or regular season... upset over
they flipped the series, man.
That's fine.
And I said, but you're not about November games.
You shouldn't be. But when you don't have experience winning titles, you become that.
November games.
You're conditioned to November games. Like Met fans are conditioned to, oh my God, we're playing well in August and we never do. For Braves fans, for Georgia fans, for our city and our state, like, let them have August. If this is what New York has come to. New York basketball celebrates a home victory in the playoffs, one game. The Met fans celebrates August like they just won something in October. The Giants, the Jets, all of it, fine. This is the state of affairs in New York sports. Yes, Dan.
But I will say, though, too, that winning is pretty much like a drug. So when your team wins a title, the following year, your nostalgia takes over. You're like, I want October to be like that again. Like, I want that every single year.
But so you also realize
there is that fan as well.
You're right, but in August, you realize I can't do anything about that today. You have perspective. What can you do about it today?
Well, I mean, did you see Twitter over the weekend? I mean, people are thinking that the season's over.
Twitter's not a real place.
No, I get it, but I mean,
Twitter's the most overreactionary place ever.
I don't give a fuck because Twitter's not a real place.
Thank you. But I'm just saying that there are a lot of people who are now like, I'm not going to get the feel that again, and that sucks.
You ever been to Long Island?
I have. I stayed in the Marriott there at the same hotel.
Nassau Coliseum right
there?
Yeah,
where the Islanders.
Yes, Nassau.
So, yeah, the Philadelphia Flyers were in the hotel when we were there. This was 96 during the Braves-Yankees.
Yeah, that's where the Arena League team, the New York Dragons, played. So I've been there.
Love the Dragons.
Have
they won anything, the Dragons?
It's paid for. The New York Nets, playing in Nassau Coliseum, won in 1974 and 76, Matthew.
All right. I wasn't born yet.
So.
It's just, again, I used to be jealous of New York. I mean this sincerely. Like, I'd be like, that's what I want. I want to have that championship aspiration. Canyon of Heroes, ticker tape parades, downtown, you know, or Manhattan. I'm like, oh my, we want a playoff game with the Knicks or the Mets are in the race or having a good August.
It's whatever, like, you think about it, and I don't know. I mean, BJ would know for certain, but like the Yankees, that organization and ownership and everybody else, we didn't win the World Series. Hush up about this stinking division title.
That's exactly right.
We got beat by Houston or the White Sox. I mean, never changed for the Yankees.
It was always a disappointment if they didn't win the championship. Hoyt just said it in my ear. He's right. Boston took the helm that New York used to hold of championships. We win them, and if we don't, it's a bummer, and it's a disappointment, and we're angry and we're bothered. For New York sports fans, we're pretty happy about regular season stuff now, and that's a sad place to be, man.
There's also, like, kind of a superiority complex in their mind where they think we're New York. Like, everybody else looks up to us. Like, Yankee fans for the longest time with the Astros cheating stuff, like, all of that. It was also, there is no possible way we can be losing to these guys in Houston. There's no possible way.
All those teams have lost the crappy, you know, in their eyes. The crappy Hawks beat the Knicks in the playoffs, right? The Giants haven't played an important game in how many years? Jets never play important games. It's a city of a lot of losing. And that's tough. It's a tough place to be. Sorry for them, but I'm not sorry.
74 and 76, I told you.
That's something I'll remember now that you've told me. Coming up in 5 minutes, Arthur Smith is showing. He's learned from, I think, his first coaching mistake.
Running the ball when we're up 25?
He wasn't here for that.
We could have done that.
But how much he's learned is another question.
That would have been a Super Bowl title.
Why are you doing this? God, how did we lose? Trying to dunk on New York's head and you're doing the Falcon thing.
28-3, we've screamed about that forever.
Yeah, we have. Before we go to Arthur Smith, let's talk about a team that Chuck says we're way off when we're talking about a former national power.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Yeah, and an advantage that we have decided, all right, this is the benefit, and it's Florida State, and it could apply to a lot of teams. It's true that Florida State playing week zero in Tallahassee against Duquesne will benefit the Noles playing week one in New Orleans against LSU. Game under belt and Jordan Travis and et cetera, and 50 reasons we all know. The real windfall is going to be week 9, week 10, week 11, weeks 12 and 13. That's after the second bye week that Florida State gets as virtue of playing week 0. Everybody else gets one. Florida State, week 8 for everyone else, they don't play for a second time in the season. Those five final games following a end of October bye week, it's three ACC games. I think they'll need to win all of them. A Louisiana Lafayette team coming off a season where the Raging Cajuns, Matt, they lost the opener in Darrell K. Royal, then won 13 straight. Then you play Florida. So, yeah, FSU needs every advantage possible, and a bye week thrown in week eight when you're supposed to be flush out of them. And I want that for my team. And everybody knows I'm an Auburn grad. Hoyt, you should want them for your team. BJ, for your team. Dan, Matt, everybody listening right now, hell, advance the season to week zero while you still can. And I'm saying before it becomes standard, because folks are going to realize the getting's pretty good. It was two games, then it was four or five. This year, there are 10 week zero games. It's about to be normal. You still have a little bit of a chance to make sure that your school is there. Who's done this? Who's played the weird oddball week zero game over the past five seasons? Florida's done it. Miami's done it. Cal, Stanford, North Carolina, UCLA, Nebraska, Vanderbilt's in the SEC. They're doing it this year. Mm. So it doesn't matter. You can do it whenever you want. And here's why you can do it. Because you're in the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten or anywhere where you can look at San Jose and say, hey, you remember you were coming November 3rd? Yeah, you're coming August 25th now. Why? Because we said, and San Jose or Furman or whomever is going to say, all right, well, we'll be there August 25th. You can do this snap of a finger. You should.
Give me that list of teams that you said have played on week zero.
In just the past five seasons.
Yeah.
Florida, Miami, Cal Berkeley, Stanford, BYU, Arizona, Houston, Nebraska, UCLA, North Carolina, stop. Illinois, Vandy.
Okay. A lot of those teams used to be important. I think there's a common thread. If you just gave me Florida, Florida State, Nebraska, a few of those others, UCLA, those are teams that we need an advantage. So let's play on a weekend.
Absolutely.
Right. We need the advantage of it's August and people are jonesing for football. So put us on that week zero and we'll actually stand out, because sadly, Florida State, when they're playing on a normal Saturday, doesn't stand out anymore.
Ding, ding, ding.
Nebraska doesn't stand. But I don't know that.
And there's an advantage to it.
I don't know that Georgia ever would have to do that. I don't know that Alabama would ever have to do that.
If you could do it, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. What's like? I would ask the question, are you extending your season another week or just playing earlier with a bye week somewhere else?
No, you get an extra bye week.
That's fine. I mean,
so everybody else is playing beginning week one, mm-hmm. you have 13 Saturdays to play 12 games. Well, by the time you get to week one, mm-hmm. you have 13 Saturdays to play 11 games.
It could happen. The future of this deal is everybody's going to be playing in August anyway, so you're going to get your wish.
So I'm saying, while it's still an advantage.
I just think it's funny, those teams. Like, those are all used to be importants.
But see, what the commentary that there's an advantage, and you're right about that. This is not, you know, like Alabama week zero. Like Vanderbilt, for instance. They play week zero this season. The second bye week for them comes October 29th. The entire month of November, they get a second bye week heading into November. Now, this is for Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
All four games are SEC games. All four are division games. And I will say all four could be winnable. And a second bye week, that's an advantage for a team that desperately needs anything they can get.
I'm going to add one more element to why it just feels small time playing right now in week zero. Like, it does not feel like the big room. Like, Alabama doesn't play in August. Alabama plays on Labor Day weekend or Labor Day night or that Saturday night. We are the headliner in the big room on the first full weekend of college football. To play in August means you're Florida trying to, you know, grab a little attention, Nebraska. Uh-huh. It seems like, I don't know if the big schools would do that. And I know Florida's a big school.
And there are Academy Award winners who are now on TV series.
That's
streaming
different.
TV series.
Very different. The writing's better.
I'm not on the small screen. That's not me.
If the writing was better in August, these college teams would do it too. I think we agreed on something a year ago when Arthur Smith took over for the Falcons heading into the preseason, that he made the same mistake so many other head coaches have made, where they just don't play their guys very much at all in the preseason out of fear of injury. I think that's a huge mistake in so many levels. Like, the injury risk is, yes, it's there, and you will get roasted if one of your best players gets hurt in what we all look at as a meaningless game. But you also are sacrificing essentially week one if you're a team with a bunch of new players on your roster, if you have a new quarterback or a new coaching staff, by not putting anything into preseason. So Arthur Smith has sort of gone the about face. He's like, if everybody's healthy, they're playing Friday against the Lions. So step one is in the books. Good job, Coach Arthur. Step two is how much they play. And that's, to me, the bigger deal. Playing Marcus Mariota in his first team for a series or two, that doesn't do much for me. Why not play him a full half or into the second half in week one and then do it again in week two? And here's why. Let's say Mariota gets hurt, or God forbid Kyle Pitts gets hurt. it would suck and Smith would get roasted. It doesn't change the expectations of this team. And I know that's external. On the inside, they don't look at it the way we do. You guys know what I mean, because it would be different if Brady lost a key weapon in the preseason, or if Mahomes lost a key weapon for Kansas City, or L.A. got somebody hurt in the preseason.
Well, the franchise is 2022 goals. You're right.
Correct. Yeah. So if I'm Arthur Smith, I want my first team O-line playing a full half, maybe more on Friday night with Marcus. I want Pitts. I want London. I want Brian Edwards. I want all these guys. And then my running back rotation, I'll flip it over to the defense. I want my front seven. I want Richie Grant. I want Jalen Hawkins. Mm-hmm. Like, I want these guys to get legitimate time in what used to be a meaningless throwaway first preseason game. Use this. So when we get to week one against the Saints, you've gotten a million reps under your belt for your team. And in a season where you're going to have a hard time finding wins, give yourself the best chance to win that game.
Agree with you on a large part of that. The only little asterisk, and that's all it is. It's not a but even. It's just an asterisk, is I said that it wouldn't. I agree with you. Said it wouldn't change the overall trajectory of the season. Oh, I agree with you. If you lose Kyle Pitts in the preseason,
it would suck.
Doesn't play exactly, but I don't know. Maybe you win three or four instead of five or six. I don't, whatever it is. There's no tangible real difference because there's so many issues. However, when I said I agree with you, wouldn't change that, the asterisk is, in terms of pure wins and losses and what it will equal, because I don't think this season is going to equal anything of substance, regardless of whether it's four wins or six wins. There is a goal for Kyle Pitts to develop and get more experience, and so that going a year from now, he's going into his third season, not a second season. Mm-hmm. So there is the ability to lose an entire year of development.
You're right. You're right.
So that's, but that's the only asterisk I would throw out there.
It's the optics.
Because that is a goal you have this year.
Whether they get, let's say Kyle got hurt. This Friday night is August 12th or something, whatever sure. It is.
Yeah.
So the optics are the only thing that matters if you got hurt August 12th or September 12th. Same scenario. You're playing a game.
But would you lose the season of development? You're right.
Well,
you're
same, right.
You, it's the same outcome.
Same outcome.
Yeah.
But I'd also like him to have the biggest year he can, and I think building some chemistry with Mariota, yeah. Building chemistry with the other receivers, having the offensive line just play a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can go in this thing scared of injury. And I know a million coaches have done it. There was a preseason where Devontae Freeman didn't get a snap, remember?
Yeah, I've always said guys need work and just go out there and play some football, and you need work. And now I agree with you. One other thing about this scenario, I don't know what the opponent is going to do.
I don't care.
But
I mean, I don't care.
But you think that if – I've said the only rule I've known, I've said this for years, since Matt and I have been together. The only thing I can tell you about a preseason game, the only guarantee is that the starting quarterback will never be behind backup linemen.
And he shouldn't be. That's why I want to start the starting line.
If Mariota is in the game through halftime, that's some good snaps. If he's into the third quarter, which I don't have any issue with, that means the starting line is still in the game.
Right.
By that time, I would expect in the first of three preseason games that the opponent does not have his top-line defender still in the game. So you actually, it should get easier for Mariota the later you leave him in the game. That's just an opinion.
I would use two of these games where I'm giving you a half plus and maybe three quarters and another. Like, I want to go into week one with a team that has such a small margin for error talent-wise. Give myself the best shot. Maybe I'm more prepared for week one than the Saints or whomever, you know, whatever your week one game looks like. Because the Falcons lost 32-6 to Philly last year in week one. And remember what happened in the first quarter? Falcons had two great drives.
They started out with a couple of drives, yeah.
Yeah, they both fizzled inside the 10 or the 5-yard line. I don't know if more practice could have helped it. I know it couldn't hurt. As far as red zone execution, being on the same page, Smith calling plays, all of it. I would like to see Friday night be used more than just a cursory, like, let's get Marcus a series, play it more, see what it looks like. All right, coming up next, Charles, we'll take you all to class, college football class. It's a CFT. What can we look forward to?
The best news possible for one SEC West fan base and their quarterback. Hang on, I wanted to pause in that one.
There was not much. There was very monotone.
No,
there wasn't,
okay. And I wanted it because I didn't put the comment.
Do it again.
The best news possible for one SEC West fan base and their quarterback.
Nailed it. Stuck the landing. We'll find out who it is next. Happy Monday from your radio pals, Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Remember, a lot of ways to consume this radio excellence, whether it's on AM, mostly, sometimes FM, but all the time we're on the app. 680 The Fan mobile app. It's a place to catch our programs, Braves baseball, all the fun. And if you happen to miss anything, You have a couple of options. You can hear all the programs on the app, or you can check out our wide array of incredible podcasts.
Oh, look out! The Braves are coming!
The Podcast Park offers you all.
Is that the new podcast, The Braves Are Coming?
The Podcast Park is presented by Associated Credit Union. Some stuff on there if you're a Braves fan, if you're a Georgia fan, if you're a Falcon fan, you've got it all. From the Chuck Oliver Show with 2 hours of college football each and every day. The Daily 10 with yours truly doing the biggest and most important sports stories of the day every morning at 10 a.m.
I hadn't heard anybody mention mine, so I'm not mentioning anybody else's
Bucks
right now.
Beat. UGA legend Buck Ballew focuses on the biggest names and best stories from the Dogs and the Braves.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't win. I can't win with Buck. The 643 podcast with rising star Dylan Short. Frozen Rope Report with K-Mac. Southern Beat with Dan Matthews from The Perch. Falcons podcast with Michael Rothstein. All those and more available wherever you find your favorite pods. Apple, Spotify, you name it, it's there.
Off his back foot, touchdown.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today. Brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Because money matters.
Got to beat a king.
DuffyRealtyATL.com. That is the website you need to go to if you've got some personal real estate business you want to get taken care of. Especially if you're looking to sell your home. My gosh, get Rhonda Duffy involved. Better chance of getting it sold. And that's statistics. And then you get to keep virtually all the money. DuffyRealtyATL.com. Best news possible for one SEC West fan base and their quarterback. That was, change the emotion there. LSU offensive line developments. Great news for the SEC West fan base, CS of LSU, but then also whomever the quarterback is. And I don't know who that is. I believe Miles Brennan will be the best choice if he can be kept healthy, et cetera. And a lot of that goes directly to the offensive line. And thus, I'm going to look on the positive side of this. There were two offensive linemen brought in this year's recruiting class at LSU, and one of those was maybe the number one offensive line recruit in America. If not, he was one of the top two or three. Kid's name was Will Campbell, and just an uber recruit. Kid out of Monroe, Louisiana, in-state, 6'6", 300, after 2 days of spring practice. He's the starting left tackle. That's pretty clear. So that was, everybody thought there was a chance that could happen, but you got to see him show up, and he's an early enrollee, and he's like, hi, this is my job. Then there's a kid named Emory Jones from right there in Baton Rouge. He's 6'4", about 350 pounds, which is too big, especially because as a high school kid, unless you're like in an elite, I don't say this, an elite football, quote, football factory-ish sort of place where you really get good weight training instruction and such, and it's not just like the PE teacher or the defensive line coach who picks up extra money, you're probably not likely to be really football 350. You're just high school big and I can dominate. That can be part of it. Well, he's on campus, and it's not easy to play interior line as an SEC freshman. Certainly, Emory Jones is in line for that. Well, those are the two offensive linemen that were in the class. They're just four or five practices in Baton Rouge right now. A kid named Fitzgerald West from Lafayette flipped over. He's a defensive lineman in high school. Has flipped over. They have him playing center. Oh, my, really? There's so much to it. Here's the funny thing, and I can't explain it. It's like a running back who gets stronger as the game goes on. He gets more carries. I've always found, and I don't know why, but I've always found that a defensive lineman making the switch over, center is actually the position where it's kind of attainable for some reason. I don't know why that is. So that's where they have Fitzgerald West working. So that's a great return. And I mean, through the first, today is, I think, practice five. Rave reviews for these three freshmen. And I need to see if it's them kind of working their way up the depth chart, or it's in case of the two kids other than Will Campbell, maybe there's an opening because no upperclassman is hanging down, kind of nailing down one of these spots. So the good news is you have two additional true freshmen who have put themselves into the mix. It's just hard in the SEC to really see that playing out when you get two or three, again, 18-year-olds starting on your offensive line, especially when you open against a team like Florida State. Big size up front, Jared Verse off the edge, Cooper up the middle. It's not the easiest thing to send one or two or three freshmen out there against.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Charles.
Man.
Are you surprised? We haven't heard anything about Kevin Durant in weeks. Why have we not heard anything about Kevin Durant?
Oh.
Why would that be? Why do we think we haven't heard anything about him?
I saw the detail that came out today.
Well, Brian Windhorst just put some stuff out today. And I was doing my best Windhorst. It wasn't very good. Windhorst says that Durant still wants to be traded. telling that directly to Nets owner Joe Tsai over the weekend in a face-to-face meeting. Plus, he gave Tsai an ultimatum that it's if I stay, it's me or Steve Nash and Sean Marks, the coach and the GM, go. Shams Charania from The Athletic said the meeting was professional. Durant stated he does not have faith in the team's direction. The Nets have direct knowledge of the reasons behind Durant's request and understand that the All-Star continues to be resolute in his stance. Durant is believed to want a change of scenery as he enters his 16th season. But things have gone completely, like, dead-ass quiet on the Durant trade front, which, if I'm a team like the Hawks, there's never a realistic scenario where you could get Kevin Durant. This might be the only chance because things have gotten so quiet and so dead that the last thing we heard was the Celtics were at least discussing Jaylen Brown, but the Nets wanted Marcus Smart as well, which is kind of funny, but... like, I would take Jaylen Brown and figure out the rest of it later, but whatever. So if the Celtics put their foot down and you start looking around, offer whatever you have. I mean, everything. Offer everything you have to see if you can't get Trey, Murray, and Durant on the same team. If that's whatever remaining draft picks that you still have, and they're not many, if that's our first-round pick that we just have combined with Collins and Hunter and whatever else we need, if that's the best offer you guys have with the Nets, you might have no choice. And if that's the Hawks' only recourse to ever get a guy like Durant.
It will have to be an owner-initiated trade. I can't imagine that there are a lot of GMs. You have to do it if you're the GM. I understand the pursuit, but I can't imagine a lot of GMs get even extra fired up to acquire Kevin Durant, to acquire the guy who just said, fire the coach and the GM or I'm out of here. That's the guy that you're going to be all hot and by. Let's get him on the roster.
Oh, teams sell their souls all the time.
I understand. That's an owner-initiated sort of thing.
I think Schlenk would be okay with it. I think Landry Fields. Because if you have a team with Trey, Murray, and Durant, guess what you have a chance to do?
Chance to win, you should.
You have a chance to be the number one seed or one of the top two seeds in the East.
What do they expect the Nets to do, by the way? What does Steve Nash is like? They should nothing. Have made James Harden not be fat?
So, no, I don't think he expects them.
Kyrie to be a weirdo?
So when he says he has no trust in them, and I can't remember the author who wrote the book about the Nets. So Durant and Kyrie have run everything. Everything. Like, the Nets have acquiesced all their wants. And now he's like, I don't believe in our direction. Yeah, well,
it's been you.
You let, you know, the inmates kind of run the thing. But now he's saying that just to get a rise. Like, if the Nets came to him and said, we'll fire Nash and Marks, which they're not going to do, he still would want out. This is just him knowing how powerful he is. I just can't remember. Because Kevin had a great year last year.
He did.
He's still incredibly productive, top five, top 10 player. I just don't remember a player ever being available like this and everything going completely dark and quiet on it. Not even a whisper in weeks on Durant. Toronto might sneak in, or, you know, out of Philly might sneak in. If I'm the Hawks, don't you just at least put the full court press to see for the one chance in your franchise where you can get a guy that you could never get before?
And if what he wants, well, if he goes to Toronto, then his priority certainly isn't the monetary size of it, because you get the monetary part of it, because you say, well, you get the same money everywhere, and you probably get the same money, but in Toronto, it's different money. It doesn't equal the same.
I get what you're saying, but I think it's at this point, I think it's beyond the money.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if he goes to Toronto, that means the priority is not every last dollar.
I just don't know if the weirdest of this is, I don't think he has a say in where he's going. I think he'll have a say in where he doesn't want to go.
Sure, maybe, yeah.
Because the word is he won't show up for Nets training camp.
Okay.
If they keep him.
He knows
his power.
I know.
It's the deal.
I know.
All right, coming up next, the Braves' most impressive streak finally came to an end yesterday.
Oh, no.
Plus the Atlanta Bears.
Arr!
That's the bear. I mean the Falcons.
The Bears loose.
Added yet another Pace product.
The Bears not loose.
We'll talk about the latest bear.
I wasn't done. I guess I was.
I'll just keep talking.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.